Hola, ¿qué tal? It's the Happy Hour fucking podcast.
Howdy,
Tony Barbera.
Claro que sí.
Qué bueno. Comedian.
Ay, caramba.
Ay, caramba. Ah, Dios mío. Es muy caliente.
Sí, trato. I try to be caliente.
Oh.
I'm hanging in there for
the cameraman would like you to move closer to Jim, and also
yes.
Because he's a big pervert.
Because both of you need to be on that camera.
Oh, which camera? Yes.
This camera right up
move
here.
Move closer to him.
Hola.
Move
oh,
that way.
Wow.
Oh,
yeah.
Hi.
Okay.
Hi.
Welcome to Fantasy Island.
Bienvenidos.
Monique Marvez is an amazing comedian, and she had a show right on our old network here in L.A. She has a show now on KFI in Los Angeles.
And we used to pass each other after the show for like 3 seconds because we had to vacate the premises while you were moving in.
That's how radio is.
Yeah?
And
get
you
out.
Said you've literally fucking never seen me without a baseball hat.
No, you're gorgeous. You are very pretty.
I just came from... Thank you. So are you. Tonight could turn out better than I thought.
And by the way, that dress is awesome with all those Madonnas on it.
Actually, yeah.
Marilyn Monroe, isn't it?
It's Madonna. It's Madonna pretending to be Marilyn Monroe.
Ah, yes.
There we go.
It's Andy Warhol.
Nice.
That's all I know.
Andy Warhol. Andy Warhol.
Awesome.
Nice. Yeah, well, anyway, I just
Andy
came from MSNBC. This is where I grabbed this from. I'm going to masturbate on this later because I love Lawrence O'Donnell so much. Jim suggests I roll it up. Be careful of paper cuts.
Roll it up and fuck it.
Right? I'm wearing my... This is my version of the blue dress.
You look gorgeous.
That's a t-shirt right there. Roll it up and fuck it.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you on that.
I'm going to call my autobiography that.
Yeah. Well, they have shit my father says.
That's right.
Yeah, with just a bunch of asterisks and stuff.
But you've already been highly inappropriate before we already started taping because we're BFFs. We live near each other already. We're bonding. You are at workout... freak like I am.
I am.
And I said, do you spin? And you said, no, I have a spick ass.
Yeah, I do. I have a big spick ass.
I'm not even sure she can say that, can she?
Yes, I can.
She can.
Yeah, and in fact, I set an alarm so I'd be on time, and it went off at 3:58, and I told them that's my Latino alarm so that I defy the stereotype and show up early.
Wow.
I set alarms all over my house, and when they go off, that means you have 5 minutes before you have to leave. The next time it goes off, you have to be in the car. I set alarms.
Wow. That's
actually to train
myself to be white.
You're perfect just the way you are.
It's actually kind of a lame ethnic slur. It's just like a snur? Slur.
Snur?
Ethnic
snur. Oh my
god,
you're drunk already.
No. I have a cold. But
there's things you value and things you don't. Like in my family, we know we're going to run late, so we cut each other slack. But then the slack becomes slack, and then 15 minutes is an hour.
Yeah.
Are you wearing bedazzled Hello Kitty fucking headphones?
They
are indeed. They were a gift from my brother, the Comic-Con freak.
Oh my god.
She used to wear those at the old radio station.
Yeah. I have a brother who's...
oh, my God. Marcus Bachman would beat you to death for those headphones.
They're pretty cool, aren't they?
They are. Oh
yeah.
My God.
Yeah. My geek brother gave them to me.
Those are so
his favorite
cute.
Day of the year
Hello
is opening
Kitty
night.
Barbarians need to be disciplined.
So, anyway. Oh, yeah. Look, here's my pass. I was just on... it'll be airing... we're taping this. It'll Thursday night, so
yeah.
you may have already
you already missed it.
I'm gonna watch.
But it was about it was an opportunity for Lawrence and I to say balls like 45 times
because of Deflate Gate.
Right, about the underinflated balls.
Underinflated balls.
Yeah, and so we just said balls a lot of times.
You don't want overinflated
balls. I did
balls.
A whole bit on the radio once just to do that, and here's the bit in just 1 second.
Okay,
there's a thing called nudicles. That when
when you neuter a dog,
you can put fake balls on them.
Right.
And I actually called the guy that invented them and I said, tell me the truth. Do people sometimes put bigger balls on their dogs than the ones that were taken off? And he goes, all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And I had to laugh.
I know.
On a chihuahua?
It's human nature.
Absolutely.
It's human nature.
You can't even walk.
Yeah.
I can't walk.
It's so sad. Like, we are the perfect new neighbors because I have an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
Which is like a swinging pad.
Yeah. Awesome.
You know, and you have a gorgeous house.
Thank you.
And then I have a little dog. You have 2 big dogs.
Yeah, there you go.
We both like to work out. You drink. I'm not a big drinker, so I can be your DD.
You're drinking water,
you
for
know
God's
what?
Sakes.
Stephanie, I'm going to tell you what I tell everyone. People drink and do drugs to go where I live. You don't want me any less inhibited. Like, there's all kinds of parts. I'm like IKEA furniture. There's parts that did not go in. I still function perfectly.
Right.
But stuff is sitting on the instructions. I have no filter. I have no guile. I have no game face.
Yeah.
I am like a child, except I have a car and credit cards, which makes me worse.
Right.
Makes you dangerous.
I'm serious.
That's awesome.
No, yeah. I am awesome. Anything, anybody. In fact, I used to have this friend who claimed she was bisexual.
Right.
I said, no, you're not.
Oh, I'll test that out for you.
Yeah. Okay, well, here's
this is my specialty.
And here's
la, 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 let mama.
Just take it for a test ride.
And I would tell her, I said, BS, pick a team and play hard. And she like choked. And I said, anything you can do stone cold sober at noon in the window of Macy's in New York, that is what you are. All right. I said, anytime you've ever been with a woman, you've been high and or drunk. You know, I said, and I'm not saying that you're not curious or that you don't want to do it.
Right.
But to me, if you can't do it sober in daylight in the middle of the street, you are not that thing. Like, there's not anything I can't.
Does it have to be in Macy's window?
No, you can do it in the middle street.
Okay.
But
like in Bridesmaids.
That just seems rude.
Like, I have no qualms. I've done horrific things totally sober. People are like, were you high? No,
tell us what you've done.
Oh, my God.
This is what happy hour is all about.
Travis knows. I used to date a gay porn star. A for real gay porn star.
Okay, we need this story.
All right, hang on now.
Am I lying, Travis?
No.
All right, pull the show over for a minute.
Okay, so here's a... I was very, very young. I was in my 20s in Miami.
Yes.
And I met this gorgeous hot guy at a club named Biscayne Babies. Okay. And he gave me that's the name.
Okay.
And he gave me his card, and it said travel agent, and it didn't have a little line that said specializing in trips to Uranus or anything.
Right.
It just said travel agent.
Right. So who knew? He didn't say.
No. So I called the travel agency. And here's the thing. He was totally cool. I called the travel agency, and this guy answered the phone. He goes, hello, like that. And I still, naive Catholic girl who's never really dated, married my high school sweetheart.
Catholic too.
He got me at the exact right moment.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I'd never done anything. I was newly divorced and didn't even know how to like go to clubs.
Right.
Right.
So I met him at the hot dog stand.
Of course.
And he looked.
That should have been a tip off.
And he was really handsome. And he looked
like
at
the
me.
Iowa caucuses. Oh. Sorry.
That was really effective.
Can I fillet a hot dog? I mean, buy you a hot dog?
Yeah, exactly. So he looked at me with the crazy eyes and he, I'll never forget it. And he said, you're too classy to be eating a hot dog. And I said, thank you. You guys want to get married? I said, I just got divorced. I mean, you're just that fast with the
crazy.
Wait,
okay, let's review because we need to know everything about you. When did you get married and what age did you get
divorced? I married my high school sweetheart at 21 and
you
got divorced
where?
At 23, Miami.
Okay.
Born and raised.
Okay.
And I tell people it's not my fault. Back in
the
80s.
What the fuck is with Florida? I have a Florida stack for you.
Yeah. What is it?
It's just
Florida man does
all
this.
Weirdness.
Florida woman, you know, shits her privates while driving.
Yeah. People Florida steal crazy. People's prosthetic legs. I mean,
yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah, exactly.
And beat each other
a lot
to death
of incest, too. A lot of incest in the middle of the state near Lake Okeechobee. Lots. So he... So, you know, he gave me his card. I didn't even know his name. He just said, here's my card. Call me tomorrow. I'm serious. Like,
here's my card. Zip, boing.
You know what I mean? Like, don't be, you know, and there was such an intensity to him. And I was raised by crazy
what
people.
What did it say on his card? Like,
Travel agent.
Travel agent.
Oh, okay.
It didn't even have his name. So I called the agency.
Hi, Suckadick Travel Agency.
Yeah. And I said, I met a gentleman last night, about 6'2", with blue eyes. And he gave me this card. They go, oh, that's Glenn. And I'm like, oh, okay. Can you let him know the young lady from the hot dog stand, Monique, called? He called me back in like 20 minutes. We went out that night.
Yeah.
And we had a lovely, lovely time. He couldn't have been nicer. And then there was like another night that we went out like 3 dates in a row. And he couldn't have been nicer. And on the third night, we were at this club. And the bouncers from that club called me over. They go, we bounce a club in Fort Lauderdale. That guy's a gay porn star. He puts on safe sex shows at a club in Fort Lauderdale. His name's Glenn Swan, aka Sergeant Swan.
Oh,
wow.
From the Mixed Up Files. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking. And I'm like this naive little, I'm like, what? So here's
Sergeant. I would assume he was a seaman.
He was, yeah. big porn scandal in Camp Pendleton in the 80s. And anyway.
Oh, wow.
So he was part of that. So here's how I roll. That's how you know I don't need it. Here's how I roll.
Right.
We're sitting in a pool hall, just the two of us.
Yeah. Right.
And I smile at him and I say, just so you know, some people told me that you were a gay porn star. And I just want you to know that if we're going to go any further, I'll need to know.
Yeah.
If we're just going to hang and be friends and play pool, then I don't need to know.
Right.
It was just that cut and dry.
It depends on which pocket of mine you want to get.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Get.
Yeah. And he said, I'm going to take you home, which I figured meant that he was.
Right.
And he took me home that night and I was turning 23 years old.
Uh-huh.
And I called him on the phone and I said, look, it's my 23rd birthday on the 23rd. It was supposed to be lucky. And here I am, newly divorced and heartbroken. I don't care what you are. That's him right now.
Yeah, he's probably right now.
He's like, why are you telling this story with my name and everything?
Yeah.
So I said, I don't care what you are or who you are. You were polite and you were lovely to me.
Right.
Aww.
So I would like to spend my birthday with you.
Aww.
And he came and he picked me up. And he literally reached in the back seat and dropped a stack of magazines in the front seat. Advocate, Mail.
Right.
Like a stack of magazines.
Wow.
Books. And he said, this is who I am.
Wait, so wait, is he gay? Or is he just gay for pay?
He was gay for pay.
Okay.
Okay.
He was gay for pay. And actually the bigger problem between us wasn't the gay for pay, although that was a challenge. It was
really in what way? Your mom wouldn't like it?
And here's the weird part. When we went, after we had this big long discussion, he looked at me and he said, I'm not sure what I am, but you're so sweet that if you give me an opportunity to figure it out on your watch, I promise you I'll love you more than anything and take amazing care of you. I'm serious. And our real challenge was drugs.
That's a TV show.
Right? It wasn't even
doing drugs. Yeah.
And I was so naive. I didn't know.
Yeah.
But he was hooked on Percocets and Percodans.
Oh.
And
what does that do to you? I've never taken it.
It slows you down. Yeah. It makes you nuts. It's just not good.
Right. It kind of turns your brain off.
It does.
So you just
go on
autopilot. It's
hard to follow the conversation.
Yeah. And he had a lot of mental issues.
Oh.
But we broke up.
Yeah.
A lot happened, and many, many years later, he sent me a letter, and he said, I live in San Diego. I listen to you on the radio. I cannot come see you because my sobriety is tenuous, but you changed my life. I'm sober now. I'm working a program. I have he was working at the Horton Hotel as a maintenance man, dating a housekeeper.
Wow.
And had a humble but honest life.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was an amazing story.
Yeah.
All right. But you understand, I didn't have to drink or get, I mean, that's
right.
How many people, if somebody says, hey, look, I'm a gay porn star, like, I'm out the door.
Right.
It's, like, that's
right.
just not me.
Right. Not the kind of amazing story Steven Spielberg would have done on that show.
I would say Ballsack says what?
Yeah.
Donkey Breath says who? What?
Exactly. Yeah. No, I'm the kind of person that if I meet somebody, it's all energy. If you have good energy, I will try to make it work with you.
Jim Ward has amazing hands. Just give him a chance.
There's a wedding ring. That's the only line I don't cross.
By the way, we already got so real so quick.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
I didn't get to say that she is, you have like 3 Showtime specials, The Latin Divas of Comedy, Snoop Dogg Presents Bad Girls of Comedy, and your own 1-hour Showtime special, Not Skinny But Blonde.
Not Skinny Not Blonde.
Not Skinny Not Blonde.
Uh-huh. Because you're skinny but not blonde.
Not blonde.
I'm not skinny and not blonde.
You're hot though.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I do.
How did you get to be one of Snoop's girls?
He called and asked for me specifically. And that kind of floored me. The producer that did Latin Diva said, he called me, Scott Montoya, and he said, I got the weirdest phone call about you today. I said, really? Who called? He said, Snoop Dogg. I said, whoa, 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 whoa. Are you sure it's me and not Monique? Because I am not going to wear a onesie and nappy hair, not even for an Oscar. Not going to do it. Not going to do it.
Not going to do it.
No.
Not going to do it.
That was the worst movie ever.
Wow.
Precious?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't see it. It looked depressing.
It's the worst.
It was very depressing.
It's the worst. Yeah. The only thing was Lenny Kravitz looked good as not Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah.
As a civilian. That's you know what I mean? Lenny Kravitz looked great as a civilian.
That's a plus.
Yeah.
So that's how it happened.
That happened. Snoop heard me and then he said, no, it's not Monique. It's the Hispanic one that can't stay married. Go, oh, that's me.
Have you been married more than once? Oh my God.
Oh, yeah, three times.
Oh, this is awesome. Tell us everything.
Well, I married my high school sweetheart.
Right.
Got that. At what age did you marry first?
I got 21. Married the first time, 21, divorced 23.
In Miami?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Back in the 80s, you broke it, you bought it. And Hispanic and Catholic. And then I married.
Gloria Estefan was right. The rhythm did get you.
It really did. Yeah. Okay. And then my second marriage, I married for chemistry. We had nothing in common. But there's sometimes men that you smell their neck and it makes you moist as a bundt cake. And, and it's so
I'm that way with Lawrence O'Donnell and I'm gay. I don't understand. He looks at me with the blue eyes and I'm like, ooh, goosh.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
Suddenly my girl parts are working again.
And you didn't even have to insert a Coley LaFoon.
No.
I used to have a whole joke about Anne Hesh where I go, doesn't Coley LaFoon just sound like an instrument to fix a lesbian vagina?
Right.
Like, just insert a Coley LaFoon and a baby will come out.
I'm sorry your insurance doesn't cover a Coley LaFoon.
This is why we're best friends, because my friend and I used to mock that all. I don't know why, we just thought his name was so weird.
Oh yeah,
hello,
Coley LaFoon.
I am married to Coley LaFoon.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I'm an alien. And
sounds like a Martin Short character.
Exactly.
I must say I'm Coley LaFoon.
Yeah. So we just had chemistry, and we got married.
The best.
And it's what I call disclaimer men.
Yeah,
hot where sex. You hot call sex. Ahead and warn people what kind of animal you bring. He's only been sober a month. You know what I mean? There's certain kinds of men that you have to call your family and warn them what kind of animal's coming with you for Thanksgiving. Right. Just because he rings your bell, you know?
And you're like, we'll keep it in a cage in the corner. It's okay.
Exactly.
And I'll take him right back to the island of Dr. Moreau.
Yeah, and his name is Og.
Dr. Moreau. What a nice reference.
I'd say that she spent a lot of time in the Isle of Dr. Merlot. But,
that's quick. All right. Mm-hmm. So, and my third marriage,
How long did the second one last?
9 years.
Okay, wow. All right.
Yeah, it was painful.
Well, you know what? Hot sex can take you away.
Yeah, and we genuinely cared about each other. We were just very different people with a very different orientation to the world.
Okay.
Which, to find an orientation like mine is going to take a while.
Well, how long?
And the third one was predicated on me being Hispanic and Catholic and wanting a child. And once I realized that if I had a child with him and it didn't work out, I'd have to kill him because we wouldn't do custody battle well. I backed away from that. And I'm still hoping I might, buy a Chinese baby or something.
Yeah,
still
why up not?
For grabs.
Why not?
Sure.
I have this red and black cabinet. She'll match the living room. It'll be nice. I'm really not right in the head. You're never having me back. I can tell by the look on your face.
Oh my God, I'm totally Travis is like rebooking you like 16 times as we speak.
Right.
Oh my God, this is just too
fill-in host.
Fascinating.
Oh, thank you.
So 9 years, hot sex.
Yeah. Right.
And then how long did the third one last?
Years and 10 months, which is less than 4 years short-term marriage. But I was working my ass off. I had a writing deal with Dick Wolf. I was producing I was potentially going to get my own sitcom. And
wow.
I won the $1 million morning show contest in San Diego. Wow. And I was doing mornings in San Diego.
Right.
I was commuting to LA. I was writing for NBC. I had a book. Like, when you're working that hard,
you can't devote.
Think about getting
support.
Out.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I just thought, you know what? I'm just a check. Here's how I feel about life. A problem that can be fixed by writing a check isn't a problem. And every day I'd come home and watch him sitting on the couch like a La Jolla housewife. And I would think, I'm going to write a big fat check and get rid of you. And that's what I did.
So wait, he was a succubus off you?
Yeah.
He didn't
do
anything?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I had to pay alimony for 2 years after we parted.
Oh, yeah.
Dick Wolf's real name was Wolf Dick. He changed
Wolf, I was going to say Wolf. True story. Jim and I are both stuck on Wolf Dick. Dick Wolf? What?
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Law and Order. Yes.
Yeah.
But I heard it as Wolf Dick, too. It's like, oh.
Sorry,
No, but what was I going to say? No, I had a friend like that she put her husband through college. Mm-hmm. She made all the money, the entire marriage, and then she had to pay him everything. He got a half of all her writing residuals, half of
That's
everything
a shame.
Forever.
I was lucky that it was under 4 years, which is long.
And he
it
was like, he had no job. He was like
How long were they together?
Long.
My first marriage was miserable, but I stuck with it because I'm a Taurus.
Yeah.
We don't move.
Yeah, no, you guys are stubborn, head down. My worst relationship was with a Taurus.
Mm.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
This has resonance for me. I can't tell you now why right now. But anyway, all right. Monique.
Yes.
So I hate to ask this because we are. Please. How old are you? Because you look amazing. Because
I
three
mind.
Marriages.
I'm 52.
I'm 53.
Yeah.
Oh
I know
my
we're
God.
The same age.
We're
I looked
totally
you up
besties.
Online.
We're totally
besties. No, I looked you up online. I know how old you are. And that's right. Why I say we're like of this. And I have
you
no
totally
issue.
Don't look 52.
Oh my God. Thank you're you. Hot.
Yeah.
Thank you. You know what? I'm Benjamin Button with tits. And I'm saying that.
Nice ones, can Jim and I just say.
Oh, yeah. Damn.
Nice ones.
Thank you. I used to, you know what I find is the best makeup is no resentments. Like, I'm so quick to tell people, you know what? You're awesome. That doesn't work for me. Like, I'm like, doable, not doable.
Well,
doable,
I found
doable.
That, right, you can be like a liberal in your politics, but not in your personal life. You're like, I have really a lot of empathy. I don't need to date you.
Yeah, right, no.
I have empathy for your particular
No, I'm a very affliction. Big believer in vaya con Dios.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I'm turning you over to God.
Go with God.
Yeah. Oh, all right.
Go with God.
Yeah,
with God.
I wish
go
you all God. The best, but my you can't God. Be in my life.
I
like,
love you. Go with
no
God.
No drama. No drama.
Yeah.
And I've peeled.
That's a nice way of saying go fuck yourself.
Yeah. Well, in the last, I swear to you, I feel like I look and feel better now than I did at 39. Like the last dozen years, I've been peeling off the inculcation and beliefs of my youth that got me nowhere.
Yeah.
Tons of guilt, tons of burden, tons of, take care of people to your detriment, enabling 101. Right. Like all of that stuff's been just like, I tell my girlfriends, break off and take off. Just peel this stuff off of you and take off. See how fast you'll fly when you peel off. Women have it worse than men.
Yeah.
When you just say, you know what? I don't need to do this to my detriment.
Right.
If it works for you, if you want to buy somebody a burrito because they bang you, fine. It's you know what I mean? Breakfast burritos at the 101 are awesome.
Yeah.
but that's how I feel. It's like in your own mind, you have to, does this work for me? Does it work? And not financially, on a metaphysical scale, does this work? Is the balance sheet in the sky going to work? You know?
Monique.
Yes.
let's talk. What you do the Monique Marnez show on KFI.
She's already
drunk. On KFI, here in Los Angeles, which is the big power, you know, last we used to be on. I was on 1,000 years ago every Saturday. What you said your show's not really politics.
No, no. It's, and it's not even news. What I do is a perfect example. This is the one I use. I talk about phenomena, things that change the game. Mm-hmm. The perfect example is this Jamie Castillo story of about a year ago where she called her molester I think it was a PE coach, principal. She wasn't a principal at the time. She was a mentor position and had molested her. Now she has since become a principal. She called her, got her to confess on the phone and apologize, taped the phone call, posted it to YouTube. It was very difficult to watch. Wow. It was painful. Wow. Now she was outside of the statute of limitations.
Okay.
But because I guess somebody's ways and measures, pedophile, taping without knowledge, pedophile.
Yeah.
And leopards don't change their spots. So the woman was still within the statute of limitations on another young lady who happened to have seen the video when it went viral, and they took her out of her office in cuffs. Now that to me was a story about phenomenon, because in the world we live in now, the fact that she taped somebody without their knowledge had little or nothing to do with the outcome of the story.
Right.
And I said, now, remember when you, and I said, even
like Donald Sterling.
Yeah, even within couples, even within couples, you know, a couple now can say, well, you know what, if we're going to have a discussion, I'm going to put my iPhone on the table so that we don't have to go back and say, boy, I wish I had recorded it because you said this and you said that. It's a different world now. And that's what I talk about. I talk about the implications and repercussions of phenomenon down the road.
Right.
So those are the stories I pick. And there's not that many. That's why I have a one a week show, because there's three or four game changers a week internationally that I can look at a story and go, here's why this is important. Here's why 10 years from now this will still be something we're talking about. Whether it's, you know, I can remember when they had to change the laws because of the pedophile priest stories in Orange County, because it used to be that priests didn't have to report molestation to the authorities. It was handled within the church.
Now are you still Catholic?
No,
I grew up. No, I'm also used to be practicing Catholic. I got so good I went professional, so I don't practice anymore. 12 years hard time.
I'm with you. I do greatly appreciate the tenor and tone that the new Pope has taken.
Right?
As a human being.
Pope Frank is doing some fucking poping, man.
I'm all about
that. How about him going, hey, you know what? You don't need to fuck like rabbits, motherfuckers. How about that?
Yeah.
That's pretty...
No, he's good people.
He is good people.
Mm-hmm. And they needed him, because that Ratzinger, and I refuse to call him Pope, whatever name he picked, because he's... Ratzinger is anybody who offers safe harbor to a guy like Bernard Law... needs to not be respected. You know what his and you know what his last job was before he was promoted. Think about it. He's the first pope in 600 years to step down. Think about what he did. And the reason why is because poping is a business, and they needed a Mickey Mouse. They needed a friendly avatar to bring business back to the park. You know, and Ratzinger is the opposite. That's like putting, you know,
he's a singer who's a rat.
Yeah.
He ratted me out.
That's right.
Yeah. He's not Mickey Mouse. He's a rat.
Yeah.
Fucking mook.
Yeah. And his last job was vetting all of the charges and cases of pedophilia. That was his job.
Wow.
He was the buck stops here.
Yeah.
Wow. So wait, tell us about your family. Your family's still in Miami?
No. My stepmother's still there in my dad's house. And I love her, and that's fine.
That's a little edge to it.
Well, here's the weird thing is that my dad... rest in peace, was he used to say I'm leaving Miami, you know, toe tag first, and he was 100% right, which kind of made the city interesting and different for me, because my dad is Miami and Miami is my dad.
Okay.
So I was born and raised there, and we were phenomenally, probably inappropriately close, and I don't mean that in that way. I just mean I was a daddy's girl to the 10th power. He could do no wrong. I was his accomplice. And that being said, it's just so interesting, because the way the house went down and the way everything went down, it's just peculiar. And I think the edge, and here's the thing, my stepmother gave my dad's ashes to my stepsister for good luck. And when I went to the house and I said, and I said, where's my dad? You said I could have some or have
of
him.
My dad. Right.
Yeah, where my father, like, where's my dad? And she goes, oh, you know, my stepsister's, oh, she was going through a really bad time and asked if she could take your dad's ashes with her.
Why?
And so it's just kind of bizarro for me that my dad's ashes are traveling around with my, you know, less than stellar.
That's a little bit Meet the Parents.
That's bizarro, right?
Yeah.
It's real, and it's painful, and I shouldn't care because they're just ashes. But I just want to know where he is.
Right, well, you should at least get a portion of him.
Yeah, I don't like that he's wandering around with a, you know, immoral nomad.
Yeah.
She's a bit of a hoochie. I don't know where he can. I don't want my. But you
now
know
now we're
but,
talking some shit with no alcohol.
But all here's right. the real serious, beautiful thing. Ironically, and the way I look at big picture, and that's the way I live, mm-hmm. the fact that my dad should spend, you know, time wandering with a hoochie makes perfect sense because that's how he was when he was alive.
Well, there you go.
It's karmic justice on the most perfect. Yeah. When you look at the bigger picture, it really worked out.
There you go.
So, yeah, born and raised in Miami, started comedy about 20 years ago.
Let me. You know, we've saved WTF in Florida for Monique.
Oh, because, thank you.
What the fuck with Florida, Monique?
Yeah, no, it's
seriously
a strange place.
A man from
Florida.
Yes. Dances naked in intersection.
Again?
I love that, like, we're on the verge of having marriage equality. All of these freaks are straight. Like, a Florida deputy was sitting at a stoplight watching people cross the intersection when one particular male pedestrian decided to drop trowel and shake his groove thing for onlookers. The deputy said the man began to shake his penis by moving his hips in a circular motion. He might have been directing traffic. Proceeded to dance in the middle of the intersection with his pants around his ankles.
Oh.
Whoa.
That's like Tuesday in Florida, right?
It is.
Especially around Okeechobee.
Because there's a lot of dementia.
There you go. And a lot of meth.
And there's cocaine, meth, and dementia. That's an intersection right there.
Also, it's hot. It's humid. Yeah. Next one is Florida man flashes his junk to gas station clerk, tries to run over deputy with shopping cart.
Yeah.
He was charged with indecent exposure.
I bet you it was a Walmart shopping cart.
I actually saw a naked woman in Florida 2 weeks ago.
Awesome.
Really?
At a Starbucks.
Please direct me to this.
What? Why?
You don't want this.
Why? What? Huh?
Okay. I was at a Starbucks near Melbourne.
Yeah.
And I was doing comedy, and I went in, and this very, very large African-American woman, I'm going to go straight to hell, was sitting in a chair outside the Starbucks, and it was very warm.
Yeah.
So I can understand not wanting to wear a lot of clothes, but her choice, instead of going Lil' Kim with the pasties,
sure,
she was just having like a barely covering the middle section. She just basically was covering the vagine and the nips with an ill-fitting poncho. So the sides.
I bet Joni Ernst did that.
Like all the side meats.
Right.
Was just hanging
off.
Yeah,
and she was healthy. She was a very healthy woman. Okay. Large, taking up most of the chair. A lot of stretch marks, striped. Looked like about 12 yards of bad corduroy. Side meats hanging out. And people were just walking
Why
by.
Why is it always the people that want to be naked that none of the rest of us are we don't
thirsty
need to
anymore.
See that.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah, no.
The people we want to see naked, not someone.
No, and people just walked by her like nothing. Hmm. Like nothing. Hmm.
Did management ask her to leave at
all?
No.
She's just sitting out there, wasn't even drinking coffee, in a Starbucks chair with her ill-fitting poncho and her side meats out. I was like, how does this happen at like 3 p.m?
All right, this guy arrived.
It wasn't even in the evening.
No, it was midday.
This guy arrived at a gas station to find
a lot happens in gas stations in Florida,
the
too.
The shirtless guy manipulating the front of his pants.
Yeah, that's not
maybe
even that big of a
broken.
Deal. Yeah.
Right, exactly,
that could just be termites.
Right, exactly. Something going on with my wood. Sorry. And then I don't know if you heard this story, but how does this happen anywhere in Florida? Florida teen caught after posing as an OBGYN at a hospital for a month?
For a month?
Doogie Howser was a very popular show.
Totally. Wow.
And he probably looked older if he's totally Cuban. Florida. They grow facial hair at 12.
How many vagines did he look at?
Hundreds.
Well, police say a teenager in Florida was playing doctor inside a real medical facility. He posed as a doctor. He was able to walk the halls of St. Mary's Medical Center.
Where's St. Mary's?
West Palm.
Because that could make a
West
difference.
Palm. West Palm.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
All right.
Police say he wore a white coat with a St. Mary's logo. He was busted while wearing a stethoscope around his neck and a mask. I'm a doctor. Fuck you. Piss off. I'm a doctor.
Yeah.
At the
catch
time,
me if you can.
He was in the examination room with a patient. He presented himself with a patient out right. of our practice, introduced himself as Dr. Robinson.
Mm-hmm. Dr. Robinson,
Cuckoo,
I presume.
Cuckoo.
Dr. Robinson.
He was inside the exam room with a patient.
Wait,
when
just say inside the patient, inside the exam room?
Inside, yeah. No,
that's
just
double
inside the exam room. When, let's see, the doctor said that was there doing the exam, said, the first thing I thought is, I must be getting really old because these young doctors look younger every year. The real doctor called security and then called police.
Mm. No, this is my stethoscope.
Now, did any women complain, though? That's the funny part.
Yeah.
That's the funny part. It was not an, it's not a woman.
It was another doctor.
Yeah,
no,
it was another
stop.
Doctor.
Don't
he's
stop.
Cutting in on my action.
No, don't stop.
You're getting in on my strange.
Yeah.
What's happening?
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeesh.
So that happened in Florida.
Oh, and there's so much more.
We have how many Florida stories a week?
We get a lot of Florida stories every week.
There's a combination, though. There's a combination down there of elements that come together dramatically. Yeah.
Humidity.
Humidity, potato bugs, meth.
What? I have no potato bugs down there. What?
Square bass in Lake Okeechobee.
Square bass?
That's marijuana and big bales.
Oh.
People say they're fishing for square bass. That's when the dealers dump stuff.
Okay.
Oh, wow. With so many fun facts this week from Monique Marvez. This is really... Okay, this one... I need this. You don't need this. World's saddest business offers make-believe boyfriend or girlfriend.
Oh, yeah, this was sad.
It is sad. And you don't need that.
The service is called Invisible Girlfriend or Boyfriend.
Or Boyfriend.
And the idea is you sign up, you pay $25, they'll send you text messages and photos that make you feel as if you have a boyfriend.
Oh, wow.
That sounds like that movie Her.
Right?
Yes.
That's just her.
You're
fucking
operating
system. Somebody got that idea
system.
Watching Her.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
There's a companion app called Invisible Boyfriend.
Is this used to fool your friends?
You make up a backstory for how you and your imaginary partner first met. Then you start getting texts and photos.
Parking lot of a Marshalls.
They're real human beings on the other end communicating with you. Although the person writing to you probably will be different every time. For $25, you get 100 text messages, 10 voicemails, one handwritten note.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
I thought you were going to say hand
and
job.
And a lifetime of
a hand job.
It's just a handwritten note. You'd have to meet them for the job.
Yeah.
Some users, the inventor said, are people who don't want their conservative grandparents to find out they're gay.
Oh.
Others are, they want practice.
An invisible, a virtual beard.
Yeah.
That's bizarre.
No, they want with the same sex, but so no one knows. And then, they want to practice having a girlfriend so they can see what it's like, so they can learn how to flirt over text messages. Oh. That way, if they ever meet an actual
That's
woman,
what I thought about gay
they'll
people.
Know what to do when it comes to texting and leaving voicemail messages.
I'll never forget the first time I heard of the concept of gay. I was in seventh grade.
Uh-huh.
That's how young I was.
Right.
Okay.
And that song by the Blackbirds, Walking in Rhythm, like Walking in Rhythm.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
And my cousin Myra said they play this in gay bars. And she was like the party animal, my cousin Myra.
Okay.
And I said, what's a gay bar? And she said, that's a place where men dance with other men. And I thought it was where they went to practice. So when they go to a bar with women, they already know how to dance.
That's great.
I had no clue.
Aw.
I didn't find out until I realized I was actually a fruit fly myself.
Yeah.
My first boyfriend in junior high was a gay guy named Henry Betancourt.
Okay.
First boy I ever kissed. It's in my act. First boy I ever kissed is Nellier Than Pink Ink.
My first boyfriend died of AIDS.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Same.
So I've been a fruit fly. But I'm like, I wasn't even like, If you want to know if somebody's gay, just walk me through a room. He'll be the person talking to me.
Me too.
Yeah. Yes. First man talking to me that thinks my hair is pretty is gay.
That's gay. Yeah.
Well, that's because you're the outgoing one. And so gay guys are attracted to you.
And you know what? I think people can sense also that I'm up for anything.
Yeah.
That I'm not going to be the person.
It's probably the way you carry yourself.
Thank you. But it's like, even when somebody tells me they're gay, it's like, well, what does that mean unless we're going to do it? It really doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah.
It's like, so are we going to the movies? What are we doing here? It doesn't mean anything. I think that's the thing that people like nothing means anything to me until it's supposed to.
Right. Okay.
I don't ascribe meanings to things. I don't have to put things in boxes.
You are like that John Travolta character in like Phenomenon or something. You're some weird being.
I am very strange and I've paid the price for it, but now I just let it go.
Yeah. Let it go.
Yeah. Freak flag fly.
Absolutely. Right?
Yeah,
it's like
why not?
You're living several past lives at the same time.
Yeah, kind of. Kind of. It's interesting because this is a weird juncture in my life where I think that energy is you know, energy begets, I think it's bringing stuff to me because I think more people want to be like this now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. More outgoing.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that people are tired of being locked up.
Well, I think, too, like if you look at polling lower and lower, people... They don't want labels. Like,
no.
You know, I think we're almost to marriage equality, but a lot of people, even younger, like, we don't even ascribe labels like that to people. You should be able to marry who you love, period.
Right. Well, you're one of those people that don't ascribe labels to people.
Yeah, that's right.
I used to know this boy named Raul, and he used to tell me that he was, bi. And I said, why do you have to be anything? Why do you even have to tell people that you're anything?
Yeah.
They'll figure it out when they see who you're holding hands with. Let it be. You know, and I'm a big believer.
Let it be.
And the shame of it. And I was even going to ask you, like when I used to listen all the time.
Thank you.
I
what used to? I'm sorry. No, what
well,
now?
Well, we're not on.
No. I mean, when you were on KTLK on the drive-in, I would listen to you for the full 2 hours. I was commuting from San Diego.
I'd listen to you on the way back from the show.
Thank you. And I never knew for sure if you were a lesbian or not, because it was always allude.
Really, the way I just casually brushed by you when you were coming in to sit in my seat.
Thank you.
Never really, it was never really registered.
It was alluded to.
Yeah.
But it was never discussed. And I don't know if maybe not being on there, but you seem freer. It seems like there was maybe something going on that was, you seem freer and happier now.
Well, that's totally untrue, but thank you for saying so. Now, no, I'm just kidding.
Just even hearing you say on the radio, on this podcast, I'm gay. Like, I think that's so awesome.
Yeah, well, it's been a journey. As these guys know, I was out to my friends and family long before I was out publicly, just because same thing, labels, just defining yourself a certain way, right?
Of course, of course. Like I don't like jokingly, it's in my stand up, is I don't like being called a cougar. Like, I wish age appropriate men would ask me out, but they don't. Only young guys ask me
Jennifer Lopez just said the same thing. Did you see that?
No,
she was like, I hate being called a cougar.
And I tell people, call me what I am, sore.
Ow.
Yeah. But the thing is, it's like, you don't do that to an older man with a younger woman. There's no name for that. So why do I have to have a name?
Right. Why does there have to be labels? That's
For a woman. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, you love who you love. And I think part of the reason that men don't ask me out, age appropriate men, is because when men get to be a certain age, they feel like, you know what? You know, we have a nice lifestyle. I buy you this. I take you here. I want what I want. I want to go out with the guys. And it's all about, I want to have enough space for BS.
Right.
And I'm not that person.
Yeah.
Are you looking to get married again?
No.
No.
What?
No.
God damn it, Molly.
But I would.
Not to me. Just saying. And for the boys out there.
But would you have a long distance relationship? Yeah, a long term relationship?
I'm absolutely serial monogamous. I've never been able to play the field.
Right.
I always just be with one person until they screw it up. It's always them. No, it's just kidding. But I am serial monogamous. Yeah. I don't like to. I don't understand how people do that. Like, how do you be with one person, get in your car, drive to the other person, pretend nothing happened with it? Maybe I'm just too intense. But if I'm with you, I'm with you.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm
the same way.
You're frightening me in a really sexy
way. I'll be your non-sexual girlfriend.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. I always jokingly say I could probably even be a lesbian until it was my turn. Then I'd be like, oh my God, I'm late. Don't you have a shift at UPS, Pam?
See, this is what I always say. Like, I'm like, what is with the straight girls that want to try it? I'm like, you can't try it.
You attract those.
There's an oral exam. There's paperwork. You cannot just try it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think I could be empathetic. Like my girlfriend, Jenny McNulty.
Uh-huh.
We were going to go do a, she's a comedian. We were going to go do a tour of the US. So I love her. And she was using those she's like, me and my friend. And finally, like, we weren't even on the plane yet. We're still at LAX about to fly to Korea together. And I look at her, I go, Jenny, are you a lesbian? And she's like, it's not labels. This was in the early 2000s. I said, I don't care. And we flew around and we took care of each other. One night I was sick. She brought me food to my hotel room. Like, we had a lovely, lovely time. And it was really funny because she said that she actually didn't come out. She was like 27 or something. So we would call. She said, I didn't know there were other lesbians that were like feminine. She's very feminine and cute, And
I don't really think about that.
And here's the and here's the funny thing. She would say, I came out when I was, 35 or whatever.
Yeah.
And here's the funny thing. When we would call 35ers. So I'd say, like, there's 70 looking at you right now. Because there was like two. Because we were in the military. So there were like two lesbians, real military looking at her, and she goes, I say, put it in your act. And she'd be like, no. And I finally told her, I said, you have to connect with yourself in order to connect with them. I said, even if you don't want to go into you being a lesbian, just say things around it that people, like, she loves the Detroit Lions.
Mm-hmm.
And she had everything.
Lesbian.
And she had Detroit
liquor.
Exactly.
She had everything.
Wow, that's a nice flannel shirt.
I'm so sorry.
No. But here's the thing. She even had like all Detroit Lion bathroom stuff. But her Korean lesbian girlfriend didn't love the Detroit Lions.
Okay.
And also said that the logo. Because she couldn't
pronounce it.
On the toilet paper.
What, Jim?
Nothing. Never mind. It's not important.
The toilet paper logo.
Yeah.
So I said, Jenny, how do you get around not having the toilet paper logo? And she said, I just pretend it's their away jersey. So, and I said, put that in your act. It's hilarious. You know, just you don't have to say this. Just tell the story, and people will figure it out.
Exactly.
As you tell the story.
Everyone's journey is different. You remember our ads for my show used to say "Making men rise in the morning" because I've always been flirty and I love men.
Me,
but you know,
especially firemen.
Yes, and Lawrence O'Donnell.
Yes.
Anyway. Now, have you ever had a boyfriend?
Yes. For the fuck's sake, Monique, have you not listened to my... Yes,
well, I heard
I
you, but it
could have
been like junior high. It wasn't like when you were bumping
all
uglies.
The way through college, I fucked a college football player at USC that had a dick that bent to the left, which was like a divining rod for my political aspirations later. It's not important now.
Didn't you blow a cop in the parking lot of a radio station?
I did not blow him. I made out with him.
Whoa. How recent was this?
This was...
Like, when was the last time you actually saw...
When's the last time you got a speeding ticket?
A buzzard hanging out of his nest on a cliff wall.
Listen, a little makeup with a cop goes a long way.
I bet.
All I'm saying.
And they all think they can turn you anyway, I'm
sure.
Yes,
it's a challenge.
Yeah, they do. They're like,
they do.
You know what? You haven't had the right...
You say gay, and they hear three-way. They're like, oh, you just want me to lunch.
Yeah.
I know. See? Look at Jim. Look at Jim's like... Jim's picturing my girlfriend's going, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, anyway, the point is, so you are still open to love, though? You are still...
Oh, my, the exact, not only am I open, I think that the really good stuff is happening now.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I think the second
half...
You're
in your power now.
I believe that the second half of my life is, the first half was a setup, just like a joke.
By the way, I know, it's like, I have to say, I got sucked in George Clooney saying... It is humbling to find love at this point in your life. He's our age. You know, particularly when you've waited your whole life for it.
Yeah.
And that's the way I feel.
I'm sure that his first wife and many girlfriends were
hurt
by that.
You fucking bastard. You pencil dick motherfucker.
Pig lover. Pot-belly pig.
Pot-belly pig.
Yeah.
Slept in the bed with him.
Yeah. That's true.
Yeah. And I
guessed at the house would sleep next to the pig, too.
I'm grateful for everything.
Wow.
I've loved a lot of people.
George's girlfriend really has let herself go.
My God. No. Don't call her a pig.
The new one's his wife is like
she's gorgeous.
About
stunning and smart.
Yeah, and well, Amy Poehler mentioned that.
I saw that. Wasn't that great?
It's terrific.
What'd she say?
Who's here for her husband to receive? Like she went on with all her accolades.
Lifetime Achievement Award after listing all of her accomplishments,
which were huge. Yeah. Anytime you can mention the UN, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And you go all Boudreaux on people. That's big stuff.
Yeah, right.
Oh, you mean Kim Jong Un?
Yeah.
Oh,
Boudreaux, golly.
Yeah. So did you see Jay Leno check? You know,
I missed it somehow.
And Bill Cosby. Mm-hmm. I mean, interesting. Is your
what
comedian.
Did he say?
He he really like hit. You know, he basically like. I thought it was great. He said he hosted Bill Cosby on The Tonight Show nearly 20 times. He spoke out against him. He said, I don't know why it's so hard to believe women. You go to Saudi Arabia, you only need 2 women to testify against a man. Here you need 25. I mean, we're up to 25 women. He also, like many, he credited comedian Hannibal Buress. I don't know him. Yeah. I don't know if you know. But for his using his unfiltered stand-up material in which he called Cosby a rapist to jumpstart the conversation about all these allegations. And he said Buress made a flat out statement that reverberated around the world on many other media that would have been edited. People are getting news unfiltered now from you, from me.
That's right.
Right. From, I mean, and that's the thing. You try not to go, oh, he hasn't been convicted, but you go, really?
Doesn't matter anymore. See, that's why
women for no financial gain have told the same story.
That's, and it's interesting. See, that's phenomenon. That's the kind of thing
right.
I talk about.
Yeah.
Because here's what's interesting is that as I dug into that story, as I dug into it, it turns off he's been paying off people for years. Mm-hmm. It turns out his own, like many years ago when I worked with Mr. Cosby, I was warned.
You did? Wait a minute.
I was warned.
You see?
I need some more wine for this. Go ahead.
Somebody put the pills into people.
Somebody told me he's don't be alone with him.
Wow.
Somebody
when
told
did you
me.
Work with him?
In the summer of 2007, August of 2007.
So relatively recently.
Yeah, August. I have a picture of me and him on stage. I posted it on the KFI.
Wow.
He gave me the sweatshirt because in his rider, he always gets a shirt that says hello friend because his son Ennis always greeted people by saying hello friend.
Okay, yeah.
So he gave me the sweatshirt. I took my partner at the time. I was doing an FM kind of fun show. So I had a partner. It was called Monique and the Man. I took the man with me. And we were in the green room, me and the man and Bill Cosby. And here's the thing about And I call him Mr. Cosby. I had a positive experience.
Yeah.
Right.
But what I tell people is comedy is tragedy plus time. I have never met a comedian ever who, when you sat and talked to them, didn't have a story. And it just depends. And maybe it's creative and successful people, because Quincy Jones has an incredible story.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I told people is, and you may know this story, Stephanie, there was a comedian rapist named Vince Champ. He was a serial rapist. You can look it up online.
Okay.
And what he did was he would perform in colleges. Mm-hmm. It's a parallel story. African American, squeaky clean.
Right.
Only did college gigs.
Wow.
Super high image, you know, insofar as everything was.
I have to say, Cosby was always suspect for me for how he was moralizing to other black people.
All the time.
And how white people loved him for that. That, oh, you're calling out black people for their moral transgressions. And
Vince Champ would do the same thing all the time. He would be on a college campus. Mm-hmm. He would look for a woman alone in like a rehearsal space, or, you know, he would, or you know, there's people alone on campuses studying. He would find a person alone. He would ask them to pray for him and to pray forgiveness.
Right.
He was actually concerned for their pain and welfare while he was raping them. And he would ask them to tell me your sexual history. So first he would ask, talk dirty to me. But then he would be concerned if he like accidentally put his elbow on their hair or something. And he would also ask them to pray for him. And they caught him. This was in the 90s.
Yeah.
And they caught him. And they literally lined up his touring schedule with this string of rapes.
Oh. Wow. And it matched.
And it matched. Wow. And they caught him here in California. I think he raped somebody in Pasadena.
Oh, my God.
And
sounds
I,
like a cop show.
And when
yeah.
I
oh, and fuck, w- right?
And I said, if you look at Vince Champ, the only difference between Vince Champ in every possible way and Bill Cosby is just prestige, money, and fame.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he's this person with this image, with this behavior, you know. And
but isn't that part of it that people, women are like, oh, don't fucking believe me. It's Bill Cosby. Look
absolutely.
At all the power and money and attorneys behind him.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the fact that you even, if people, it's like OJ saying, I'm going to go look for the real killer. If somebody said I did something that was that heinous that I really didn't do, do you think I would just sit back and say nothing? And where's his wife in all of this?
His wife is silent.
Yeah. because the supermodel.
Well, she spoke out, but she was.
Well, barely.
Well, Beverly Johnson said that the only reason she didn't come forward sooner was because of Camille. Was because she felt bad for Camille.
Right. And Jay Leno's, Jim never says anything bad about anyone. So if he's like.
No, he's the nicest man in the business.
About this guy.
Yeah, if, nice to a fault.
if Jay Leno, that to me is a, that's a jury of the Supreme Court, right there.
Yeah, right.
Jay
there.
Leno says you did it. You did it.
Then you did it.
Yeah, no. It's a sad but incredibly believable story.
Yeah,
incredibly believable.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's still working in any capacity is fascinating to me.
Although at his concert in Denver, apparently he's had like over 1,000 refund requests.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. So it,
wow.
I guess in the smaller towns like Turlock, where he was earlier.
Or Ontario, Canada.
You know how that is when you play. They're like, oh, my God, we're fucking happy to see anybody. This is awesome.
Well, it doesn't. Right. Yeah. They'll take Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
They'll
be like, but big cities like Denver, you know, they don't take that shit.
No, they don't. They don't. And here's what's interesting. And again, phenomenon, talking about bigger picture. What's worse, to be convicted in a courtroom and possibly not have the charges stick?
Right.
Or the fact that in real life, he's a pariah?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always say, and you have to look at things in a bigger picture. And now it's not even about the courtroom anymore.
No.
It's your dollars. It's how you're perceived. It's how social media perceives you. Like he's done. He's a pariah. He's done. Yeah. No one wants anything to do with him.
Yeah. Mm. Okay. So we have to ask you.
Yes.
Because the president gave a great, I thought, State of the Union with a mic drop moment, right? Gangsta like.
Yeah.
And then the Republicans had five responses, including a Spanish language response that had that was supposed to be a translation of Joni Ernst's response, but that wasn't, that added things about, we'd like to work with the president on immigration reform. And you're like, no, you fucking don't. Like, and they got caught in that and they didn't know what to do about it.
Well, here's the thing about, first of all, the thing about the president for me, and again, going back to how I report news, I don't care that he's the president or what he does. I care that he's a symbol of something that's going on that can't be stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is the bigger picture, is that now we live because of the internet, because of the world, because of information exposure, we live in a meritocracy. The best idea wins.
Yeah.
It just does. Mm-hmm. The best idea wins. And we're in a transition period as a people. And I think that because he's so smart and he's so different, mm-hmm. that even people that voted for him aren't sure how to feel. You know, it's like.
But what about when the best idea butts up against the most money?
But let me just tell you something. That's coming to an end as well.
You think so?
I'm going to tell you I know so.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. About 8 years ago, I told my old boss at a little radio station in San Diego that was paying me very well. Mm-hmm. I said, in a very short amount of time, things are going to spin on a three-cog wheel. And the three cogs are information, entertainment, contribution. And yeah. He's like, what does that mean? I say, number one, nobody watches commercials. So information is the commercial.
Right.
Entertainment's the entertainment. It's what we do.
Yeah.
Contribution is where's your heart? If I pick you over Chuck, if I listen to Stephanie over Bob, where is Stephanie's heart? Why is she like me? How can I identify? Mm-hmm. This was before companies were starting to say, like, we give this much money to Susan Komen, or we do this, or we do that. This was 8 years ago.
Right.
I said, two things are going to happen. Number one, people are going to figure out there's absolutely profit in positivity. And number two, people are going to start putting their money where their mouth is. They're going to realize that if you don't give back, what I love is that as self-absorbed and socially inept as the millennials are in many, many ways, and they are in many, many ways, they have a BS meter like nobody's business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they put their money where people are not BSing. My highest compliment is the fact that my audiences are predominantly millennials. There's something about the way I conduct myself that's very attractive.
It's your honesty.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And I'll go and there'll be like 15 girls that came en masse from their college to see me as like an event.
Mm-hmm.
And that tells me I've done something right. Because this whole system is crumbling.
I went to a book party for Ted Olson, and there was, you know, a couple of his there was a couple of women there that worked at a Catholic high school, and they said every girl is the hugest fan of yours, and I was like,
of yours, Stephanie's,
right? Yeah. Mine.
That
was
should
like,
make you so happy.
Wow, like that's awesome.
Yeah,
but you know, because you know we have so little distribution in you know LA.
It's not like that though. People will find you then they'll tell their friends.
Yeah.
Right. And they tell two friends and they tell
and
two
they
friends.
Tell
that's
friends
where the value of social media comes in.
But see, that's what the with me it's all about exposure and speed.
Yeah.
You know, things get exposed and spread much faster.
Right.
So if you're going to do something, I always think to myself, you know, it used to be win-win. Now it's win-lift. If you're going to do something, add good, make it better, take it to the next level. Don't just waste. I try not to miss an opportunity to do something better.
Yeah.
The Republicans have no interest in that.
No.
They're just really rotten liars.
No, I agree with you.
They're trying to say the economy is in the worst shape
but it's
ever
not gonna
been.
Happen.
Ever.
Did you see John Boehner's face behind? He looked like, oh, this is really, oh.
Yeah, but
the president gave an amazing speech. And John Boehner, you can always tell how good a speech it is by how bad John Boehner's face is.
Sort of sinking into his suit. Lapels are coming.
I need a bread bag to shit in because this is.
I'm going back to the tavern.
But this whole system's eroding. I mean, let's be honest, it's eroding.
Well,
the differences in many ways between Republicans and Democrats has gotten less and less over the years in so many ways.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I loved my gangsta president the other night. He just, you know, because I thought he wasn't even expecting them to rudely cheer his, I don't have any more elections to run. He already was into his next sentence and they cheered. And then he just had the best ad lib in State of the Union history. He was like, all right, that's how it's going to be. All right, well, you know what? I know because I won both elections. And you're just like,
snap.
Right? Fucking gangsta mic drop. And I'm like, if I were him, I would have been like, Mitch's, and you know what? You can suck my big black presidential dick, and Ann Coulter can suck it twice, motherfuckers. That's what I would have said.
Well, I don't think Ann Coulter likes
she
boys.
Can suck her own dick, but it's
all right. Yeah, exactly. She could suck her own dick. But my point is.
It's a lot of sucking.
Yeah.
Well, Monique, listen, we need to say that we can find you where?
Yes.
Well, I have my own website, MoniqueMarvez.com. Okay. You can find me on KFI. I'm serious. If you just type in Monique Marvez, there's like pages of places to find
me. And you're on Twitter?
I'm on Twitter. I'm on Facebook. It's all Monique Marvez because I'm the only Monique Marvez.
There
yeah.
you go.
Yeah. That's and it. People like were like, well, I signed up for the happy hour because of this. And I'm aww. Like, motherfucker.
And
America, fuck yeah, man.
Unfortunately, Jim Ward is a very common name, and yeah. one of them screwed up my IMDb page.
Sorry. No. Just,
oh, yeah. yeah
you can get it.
It's like up. David Bowie's real name is Davy Jones, but there right. was already Davy Jones of the Monkees.
Yeah. And you can listen to you every Saturday night
yes.
on KFI.
And we post the podcast also on my page and on their page.
And you can listen on iHeartRadio.
Yeah.
All right.
Cool. Do it. Do it. We love you, Monique.
You know
I
what?
Mean
it's
that.
Mutual. I want to come back.
Yeah, wow. We'll have you back. Definitely.
You're already booked because you are highly inappropriate. And we fucking.
Yay!
Did you just say fuck one more time? Because it was.
Yeah, fuck.
There you go.
Thank God. There's too much.
It's a good real. Word. Single syllable, much. Hard
fuck.
K at the end.
Yes.
Say it, everybody.
Fuck!
All right.
All right.
Thanks.
Thank you, Monique.
Thank you, Monique.
We love you, everybody. See you next week.